Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, New Living Translation of the Bible, it says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. It's just one verse. Let's read it again. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Hallelujah. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. So I want to use for a subject this morning, your money or your God. Small G-O-D. Your money or your God. Father, in the name of Jesus, inspire us as we hear your word. Instruct us by yourself. Speak to each and every one of us what we need in this season of our lives in the name of Jesus. Let your word heal. Let your word quicken. Let your word change our thinking in the name of Jesus. We thank you and we worship you. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. All right, ask your neighbor for me one more time. Your God or your money? Your money or your God? Now, there's this refrain that we've been, you know, working with in the last few days. And I want us to see it again. And I'm going to put a twist on it this morning, okay? Tell your neighbor for me, there is a God. He is the Most High, and I am not him. One more time, say, there is a God. He is the Most High, and I am not him. One more time, there is a God. He is the Most High, and I trust him. Do you? One more time, there is a God. He is the Most High, and I trust him. One more time, there is a God. He is the Most High, and I trust him. Hallelujah. I trust him. You see, God created everything. God created everything. And then he supplies all your need. And that same God wants you to live perpetually in dominion. I'll say that again. God created everything. That same God provides all your need. And that same God designed that you live in dominion. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You would have to follow me closely. Perhaps we'll finish this on Wednesday. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Everything you aspire to, whether you want to relocate from one part of the earth to the other, whether you want something that somebody else already has, as long as it's on the earth, remember that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the Hebrew, it says Elohim bara. It's very important. When God created the heavens and the earth, in the Hebrew, it reads Elohim, the Most High God. Elohim, the Creator God, bara. It means to make something out of nothing. So everything we see was a product of something that could not be seen. And it was God who created everything. Now, Psalm 24 and verse 1 to 2 says that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Genesis 1:1 tells us he created everything. Psalm 24 verse 1 tells us he owns everything. Of course, he owns everything because he created everything. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all who live in it. Why? Verse 2. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Hallelujah. Then in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, the Bible says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. And so we can see dominion here. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Verse 29. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. Let's back up a minute. God created everything. God owns everything. And then in Genesis 1:28, God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, okay, replenish the earth, subdue it. So God created everything. God provides everything we will need. God gave us dominion over the earth. Hallelujah. Let's talk about the devil. The devil does not create anything. Okay? The devil does not create it. The devil himself is created or was created. The devil does not create anything. Yet, the devil exaggerates your need for things. Follow me closely. The devil does not create, but he exaggerates your need for things, especially money, so that by so doing, he can enslave you. Always put that at the back of your mind. The devil does not create anything. It will pervert God's creation, but much more than that, he exaggerates our need for what God created so that he can enslave us. Hallelujah. So that he can enslave us. Our text now says, you cannot serve two masters. You will have to hate one and love the other. You will despise one, okay, and love the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. If you are enslaved to money, you are not serving God. Hallelujah. This is what our text is saying. Your attitude to money is a significant indicator of your trust in God or lack thereof. Are you getting this? Your attitude to money is a significant indicator of your trust in God or lack thereof. Let's say it again. There is a God. He is the Most High. And I trust him. Now God says, look, I don't need to hear what you are saying. I need to see how you treat money to determine whether you truly trust me as the Most High. To truly determine whether you trust that I created all things. Are we getting this? To truly determine whether you truly believe that I want you to be in dominion. That I meet you at the point of your needs. It's not just about what you are saying. It's about how you are treating money. The money is either a tool in your hand or an idol. How do I know I trust God? The money in your hand is either a tool or an idol. Now listen to this. You can be rich and enslaved to money. And you can be poor and enslaved to money. This is what I'm saying. You can be needy or you can be greedy. And their symptom is the same thing. Stingy. You're either needy or greedy. But the result is the same thing. Stingy. The needy person, and there are people like that, they relate with money and they relate with other people from the perspective that they don't have. They never have. So when they relate with people, they are always into grabbing. I want to grab. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. They look at themselves, I don't have anything. So they're always needy. Every relationship is in the context of what they need. And how do you know they are not willing to give? They are stingy. To be stingy is to be unwilling to share. And there are people who have money, but who are greedy. And what does that say? What I have is not enough. I know I have, but what I have is not enough. And it's a trick of the devil. What I have is not enough, so I am not willing to give. This is what I'm saying. Everything on earth was created by God, including what you now call your money. The unwillingness to share what you did not create reflects a major problem. First and foremost, that you don't trust that you live in a world of abundance. Because you are always conscious of what you don't have. Are we getting this? You cannot buy joy. You cannot buy happiness. You cannot buy health. You know, you can rent a house or buy a house, but you can't buy a home. You cannot buy passion. You cannot buy competence. See, there are so many things that money cannot buy. So this is the first lesson you need to walk away with today. You must realize that there is more to life than what money can buy. There is more to life than what money can buy. So when you don't have money and you feel you don't have, it's a problem. When you have money and you think you are all that, it's a problem. And those two problems manifest themselves the same way. Stinginess. Okay? Stinginess. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. I want to read from the Passion Translation. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. It says, speaking to the people, Jesus continued, be alert and guard your heart from greed, okay, and always wishing for what you don't have. So if you want to read it in another way, Pishek's translation, be alert, guard against greed and need, okay, for your life can never be measured by the amount of things you possess. Your life can never be measured by the amount of things you possess. So what you possess does not give you value. What you are yet to possess does not give you value or take away from your value. I'm speaking to Christians in 2020. I thought I was going to hear an amen. Amen. Can I say that again? That what you have does not give you value? What you don't have does not take away value from you. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Hallelujah. And I don't know how God designed it this way. That generosity is the cure to greed and need. Generosity is the cure to greed and need. And listen to me this morning. You are either generous, needy, or greedy. You are either generous, needy, or greedy. Whether you're greedy or you're needy, it leads to the same thing. You are stingy. How you know people who are needy or people who are greedy is they always want. They don't want to give. They don't want to give. They don't think, some don't think they have to give, and then some think they don't have enough, so I can't give. Are we getting this? And the only antidote is giving. Now listen to me and listen to me very well. Why will God, who created everything, ask us to give? Has it ever crossed your mind? Why will God, who created everything, ask us to give? Remember the story in the Bible when Isaac now wanted to bless his sons, Esau and Jacob? As at that time, who carried the blessing? Isaac. What is the importance and what's the implication of carrying the blessing? You have all you need. So when Isaac said to his son, go get me venison, it was not because he was hungry or he was needy. It is because it's a protocol of the earth. And I need everybody listening to me this morning to understand that. Okay? It's an eternal law established by God. Hallelujah. Think about it. As a matter of fact, at the end of the day, did he release the blessing or not? He did. Over who? Jacob. What did Jacob offer him? Something from his house. Did you get that? So, you see, if he had just laid hands, listen to this. If he had just laid hands on Esau and released the blessing, a major lesson would have been lost on him. It's the law of exchange. Are you getting this? It's the law of exchange. He was not in need. At the end of the day, what they used for the transaction was his property. So it was not about need. But it's a protocol of what? Of the earth. If you are going to break greed, if you are going to break need, it is by giving. And so like I said, there are three categories of people listening to me this morning. You are either generous already because now you learned it and you understand. Or you are still needy or you are still greedy. That's the truth. The needy person says, I can't give because I don't have what to give. Jesus said, he that does not have, even that which he has, will be taken away from him. Are you getting this? The greedy person says, I know I have, but what I have is not enough. The Bible says there is one that gathers more than necessary and it tends to poverty. You want to break poverty, you give. You want to break the hold of greed. Now listen to this. The people that don't have may feel like, look, maybe I should not have so that I will never become greedy. When you want to break the hold of greed, you do what? You give. You know the reason why? Because we don't give to receive. We give because we have received. Ah, that should bless you. That should bless you. We don't give to receive. We give because we have received. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. For who? For man. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. Who was he speaking to? Man. And God said to them, see, I have given you all the plants for your food. So when Cain and Abel were bringing an offering to God, where did they get it from? It was from what they had already received. So the law of increase says when you recognize that you have already received, then inside what you have already received is a seed for your increase. So if there's anything that keeps people from going from wealth to wealth, is greed. Because they stumbled on something and then they want to sit on it. I don't know if you've met people like that before. This, now I'm talking about money. This principle can be applied to different areas of our lives, but this is what I found out. We keep applying it to other areas, but things are not working. Because when God was going to compare something with himself that knows will bother us, he didn't use emotions, he used money. He didn't say you cannot serve God and marriage. Somebody is saying your husband is stressing you. Your husband is not stressing you as much as money is stressing you. See, some of the things you guys argue about in your house, sometimes the absence of money that makes you notice. And God knows. Amen? I'm telling you the truth. But until you figure your money out, see, we can pray, we can fast, we can shout as much as we can. Until we figure our money out, it's religion. Yeah. That's the truth. Some people cannot serve God because they are saving money. And they don't know that they are saving money. But every decision they take is based on money. So you're going to marry like, yes now. But why? It's loaded though. You are not getting married. You are enslaved. So I understand you just change jobs. Oh yeah, yeah, I had to move. Why are they going to offer me like 50% of my current salary? I had to move. And people burn bridges, shut doors. I mean, some people, you were at work with them on Friday, and by Monday, he has gone. They say, he has moved to that other company. Some people in 10 years have worked for 10 organizations. And the only reason for their movement around is money. Apparently, they share testimonies, and then the rest of the congregation envies them, and God is not involved. Because you see, you can have money, and God is not involved. And you can, in a season, not have so much money and heaven's attention is upon you. Because your life is not measured in naira and dollars. So some of the most popular people in heaven don't have a bank account yet. I'm telling you the truth. Some of the people we disdain and we look down upon here are the heroes in heaven. See, some of them have just realized there's more to my life than money. So they continue to live their lives irrespective of whether they have money or they don't have money. As a matter of fact, if having money is what it means to be rich, in Genesis chapter 1, God was broke. Because he didn't have anything. God did not have money. Hello? Think about it. There was no money in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. No. So if not having money is what it means to be broke, those are the brokest chapters of the Bible. But tell your neighbor, you are never broke. Let that person understand, you are never broke. Tell that person for me, you may experience a temporary shortfall of currency, but you are never broke. Why? In the beginning, Elohim bara. And in verse 26 says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Judas was stealing money consistently from the ministry of Jesus. Jesus knew and he did not fire him. But you know why Jesus did not? Because what Judas was keeping was not the measurement of his ministry. Do you understand? So the day they needed money and Judas was not around, what happened? He told Peter to go and catch fish. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I'm believing God that this revelation will dawn on you. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth and all the people that live in it. That person that would employ you, that will pay you the kind of money that will make you go back to the village and scatter dance, is in the earth that God created. that God owns. How can you have access to God and still be enslaved to men? And God says, I will give men for your sake. If all believers can truly live by faith, we will reduce the trouble in this world. Because you see, a lot of those troubles are man-made and they are unnecessary. As a matter of fact, over 60 to 70% of the things you are afraid of right now will never come to pass. And it's just tension everywhere. Tension everywhere. People are just fighting. In fact, some people are fighting over imaginary money. Oh, you guys call that audio money, right? Yes. It's not yet there. And it's not going to come, but you're fighting over it already. We did that when we were in primary school. As we're going on, let's just say, we now see a bag and there's now 10 million inside. You'll not be arguing back and forth. No, I will take 8 million. You will take 2 million. No, I'm older than you. The conversation is going on. 20 minutes later, I say, what are you talking about? We're saying, No money. People that really have money don't talk about money. But you see, sometimes it takes having money for you to know the power that money does not have. Hallelujah. So generosity is how you break greed. Generosity is how you break need. In this kingdom, we give because we have already received. That you don't understand that you have already received, perhaps is the major problem why you think you are in need. Hallelujah. Because giving is an expression of gratitude for what we have received and an expression of faith for what we are about to receive. I told them in my class this morning, there is a difference between what has happened and what has manifested. Amen? There is a difference between what has happened and what has manifested. Go to Hebrews 11. Let's just share this one together. In Hebrews 11 from verse 13. I'm going to read from the NIV. It says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. Pay attention to this. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. Verse 14, people who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. But verse 13 says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They are in the hall of faith. So God's approval of you is not a function of what's in your hand. But that it is not in your hand does not mean it does not exist. So the Bible said they saw it from afar. They embraced it. And they lived like strangers on earth because they were looking for a city whose builder is what? God. And God testified what they saw is true. But it did not happen in their lifetime. See, but God is not ashamed to be called their God because truly he built a city for them. This is what I'm trying to say. Your measurement of your life cannot be based on what has manifested. Because there are things that exist that are yet to manifest. Are you getting this? So when I tell you that you are never broke, you understand what I'm saying? You are never sick. You are never lost. You are never stranded. You are never clueless. Are you getting this? It's a spiritual reality. And if you will align yourself, you will see a manifestation. The only thing that will not manifest are the things you don't press for or the things that were not ordained to happen in your lifetime. Are you getting this? So he says, look, they couldn't be glorified because God did not ordain for them to be glorified without us. That's the only reason. But what they saw is true. What they saw is a reality. Are you listening to me this morning? So you can't afford to be greedy. You can't afford to be needy. Sometimes I'm torn. I don't even know who to address, the greedy or the needy. Because I think the needy need more help. Amen. Tell your neighbor for me, you don't need help. You just need an opportunity. I'm telling you the truth. And I've said this severally. People don't help needy people. People don't help needy people. They give them stipends. People help people who look like they are an asset. And you've got to start seeing yourself as one. Oh, Pastor, you are talking about audio money now. Are you not telling me about audio prosperity, audio courage? No. You have it. Are you getting this? You have it. The prodigal son was still a son. Even though now he became a slave and he wanted to eat the food of pigs. As far as his father is concerned, my son is not a slave. My son is lost. They are two different things. That he's lost does not mean he has stopped being a son. You've got to know who God sees you as, because that is who you are. If you will carry yourself as such, men will respond to you. Are you getting this? They looked at Jesus for a long time. They were confused. Because he didn't go to our school. He's not like us. They said, but every time he spoke with authority. Are you listening to me? And please, you need to understand, when God was going to create the heavens and the earth, how did he do it? He spoke. How do I know that you see yourself the way God sees you? Is the way you speak. Hallelujah. Forget what's in not. Nobody is seeing what's in your bank balance. Are you getting this? Nobody knows what's at home. I've told that story before. The day somebody came to church when we were still at Maryland. You know, we used to have a bigger church, you know, on the ground floor. And we were a very small church using the first floor, you know. Even in the same compound, another part of the compound, but you know, and then the bigger church, you will get to the bigger church before you get to us. So a lot of people who are looking for us, just go to the bigger church. So once somebody came to see me one time, and after service, person stood upstairs and told me, I said, every time you see all these cars, they park, don't you feel intimidated? So I asked him, I said, when you enter this compound, you see all these cars, can you tell which church park which? He said, so why do you think somebody will come and think that church is, and then if another church is bigger, is it a problem? Your brother is taller than you does not mean he's not your brother. And by the way, that somebody is taller does not mean they have 4 gallons of blood more than you. Amen. God does not love anybody more than he loves you. God does not love you less. Perhaps you are the one that does not see yourself the way he sees you. Says, I've wasted your money. I've sinned against you. Take me as one of your slaves. Say, no. You may make mistake, but you are still a son. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope you know every time God sees you, he sees Jesus. Yes, you are the one that saw what you did on Wednesday. He sees you in Christ. How about you see yourself the way he sees you? And then carry yourself as such. Then, like I said, somebody shared a testimony with me in the course of the week. Said, Bishop, you spoke about it on Sunday, that they will start begging us with check and be telling you to manage it. She told me, said, Pastor Shagun, that was exactly what happened to me. I was expecting a figure times 3 is what I was asked to manage. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I will manage it. So in case you forgot, I'm telling you again. And they will write you a check for 2.5 million. And say, congratulations on the delivery of your baby. Help us manage it. What will you do? How will you manage it? Amen. Somebody say, 2.5 is too much. Give me 2.5. No. Even the 2.5 is still below your real value. Amen. The Bible says, what shall profit a man? This is business. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Do you know what that means? That the value of your soul is more than the wealth of the whole world put together. Who manage 2.5? It's management. Bishop, what of 10 million? We manage it. Amen? You will have things to manage this year. Amen. You are not hearing me. I said you will have things to manage this year. After they will promote you, they will ask you, help us manage it. We know you are more qualified than this level, but help us manage it. Branch manager, I say, I will manage it. Regional manager, I will manage it. Vice president marketing, manage it. Chief medical director, I will manage it. Hallelujah. But that other one that you used to manage, you are not managing that one anymore. But it's not going to come by what people do to you. This is my message. It is going to now come by what you start doing. Because you have received. First, giving is what? Gratitude. So only those who don't thank God for what they have, don't give. You say, Lord, I thank you. Listen, just before you think, where is the catch? There is no catch. You can't give what you don't have. But not giving because you don't have is a problem. Let me say it again. You can't give what you don't have. But not giving because you say you don't have is a problem. So, Pastor, every whole month, all I have is 10,000. You will now know, look, this is 10,000 out of what? Out of his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So not out of all that you have blessed me with. I'm going to acknowledge that you are the one that gave me this. And this one is only a manifestation. There is yet more that exists that has not manifested. I'm not thanking you alone for this. I'm thanking you for that. Yes. Amen? And then I thank you for it has happened and it will manifest. Amen. And I trust you. So this is what we are saying. For a person not to be generous means the person is not grateful for what God has done and the person does not trust God as his or as us. Hallelujah. Two verses of scripture and we are done. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. It says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God. The reason why a person who has money will be greedy is because now the money has turned to an idol. So their hope is in their money. So this is my 2.5, this is my 4 million. If anything happens to it, I'm finished. You understand what I'm saying? I was seeing a movie, one guy was talking, he said, I have 25% of that company. If it goes down, I am finished. That's the language of the greedy. I can't be finished. Amen. Jesus said, tear down this temple and I will what? Repeat it again. There is more where this came from. They took Joseph's coat of many colors. What did he do? He went to a nation and made the nation prosperous. They thought it was about the jacket. Tell your neighbor, it's not about my jacket. Tell the person, it's about me. Amen. Tell your neighbor, it's not about my jacket. It's about me. Tell the person, prosperity is my bad habit. Everywhere I go, I show myself. Amen. He was in his father's house. He was prosperous. He was getting, you know, he was on top of his game. They said, let's sell him to slavery. They don't know that anywhere you send a blessed man, he will rise up. Anywhere you put a blessed man, he will. So in his father's house, he rose up. In prison, he rose up. In the palace, it's not a function of location. It's a function of the man in question. Come on, somebody say, I am blessed. Hallelujah. So don't put your trust in money. So what should I do? Since I know my trust is not in money, it's in God. It says they should put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Can I quickly tell you this about greedy people? They don't enjoy what they hoard. I'm telling you, they don't enjoy it. They don't enjoy it. You see somebody, you say, that bottle of wine, I've been keeping it for the past 30 years. Who is enjoying it? And even the chef is not enjoying it. And that's the way some people are. You are just hoarding it. You are hoarding it. There's a story. It's one of my guys that told this story, but every time I read the story, it didn't make sense to me. This John Maxwell teaches about the law of process and talks about this lady that lived a very frugal life, and when she died, gave about $20,000, bought some serious money to a university. I said, sir, I got the principle, but I reject it in Jesus' name. No. I will enjoy my life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Then I will leave something for my children. The Bible did not say a good man suffers in life and leaves an inheritance for his children. No, he richly gives us everything to enjoy. As a matter of fact, I will so enjoy my life, I will point my children to where it came from so that they can go and get their own. Selah. But this idea of suffering and packing it away and hoarding it, because that's what some people are doing. This greed, a lot of times, is not automatic. Some people don't even know how they got into greed. They are just preparing for the future. And some of this future you are preparing for, you will not feature in. You know, some people live as if God gave them warranty. You know, you will be here in the next 20 years. I hear people talk about 50-year plan, 20-year plan. Life is not battle. Amen. So, 50-year plan. Now, I'm not saying don't plan. Sometimes it looks like I'm going back and forth, Abi. Plan, but live the moment. The reason why a lot of people are not generous is because they are too smart for their own destiny. Now they have read the trends, the way stocks is going, the way it's going, and then they hoard it. Gratitude to God for your life well spent. Then people that have never read any book on finance, they will administer your money the way they like. That's why that university one is paining me. Not even children or grandchildren. She willed everything to a university. People that are collecting school fees. Whether you gave them money or not, they will make money. But there are people that could have benefited in her lifetime that did not benefit. They said she used old furniture. She lived in one room in Manhattan. What's that? Now, I'm not telling you to be materialistic. I'm just telling you to realize that when God gives you anything, part of the reason why God gave it to you is so that you can enjoy. Tell your neighbor, it's okay to enjoy. It's okay. Ah, Pastor, you don't understand. It's 20K I'm making every month. If you can't enjoy in this 20K, it will shock you. Some people are earning 2 million per month and they are still not enjoying. Say, my husband, what are we doing? Say, we're in the future. Some of you have property places where you can visit. Amen. He said, bush. My land in that place. And then my land in that place. Then when your children grow up, they say, we'll go and live in that place. They will sell it and use your money for vacation. The vacation you did not take when you were here. Educate your children and connect them with God. It is God, it's the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, not the savings of their father. Verse 18, command them to do good and to be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that truly is. Two dimensions to that. It's talking about life after death, but it's also talking about enjoying God's kind of life now. You want to take hold of the life that truly is by generosity, sir. Amen? By generosity. Hallelujah. By generosity. By generosity. I'm not sure you notice what the Bible is saying here. That your act of generosity to men has a record in heaven. And that your generosity on earth affects your eternity. So let me give you this final verse of scripture that breaks it down for us. Philippians chapter 4, not verse 19 now, verse 15. Because a lot of people like to jump to verse 19. And if you don't have the background of verse 15, verse 19 is useless to you. Verse 15 says, moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving. You need to put that at the back of your mind. It's a spiritual principle. It's giving and receiving. And I told you we give because we have received. So there is a problem when you have received and you refuse to give. How did the Dead Sea become dead? Because it received and it did not give. Are you listening to me? In this matter of giving and receiving, he says, I kept you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. Can you see now? So you have an account in heaven and your generosity is recorded. Now, from heaven's perspective, are you loaded or are you broke? Amen? It says, I want what to be credited to your account. Verse 18 says, I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to the Lord. Ask your neighbor for me, your money or your God? See, because once you are not generous, you are not offering a sacrifice to big G-O-D, money has become your small G-O-D. I don't know if you understand how spiritual it is. Now, when I look at it, people are like, take. It's not just two of us. God says, I'm involved. God says, let me help somebody. You've always thought that God is following you around and keeping a record of your sins. No. He followed Jesus around, kept a record, and then when he died, he canceled that, paid in full. After that, now he's going around keeping a record of your generosity. Are you getting this? Of your generosity. Okay? Verse 19 now says, and my God. What is and? It's a conjunction, Abby. And so it cannot stand. This sentence cannot what? Stand on its own. So anytime you are praying and you say, Father, because your word says in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply. Always remember you are telling lies. The Bible does not say my God shall supply. The Bible says, and my God. So if you did not do what happened before and, stop skipping and going to, verse 19 starts with and. Hallelujah. What did they do? They gave aid over and over again to a minister in need. It can be anybody. Are you listening to me? That is what qualifies you for, and my God shall supply your need. So I told you, how do you break greed? Generosity. That's what Paul told us in 1 Timothy. How do you break need? Generosity. And my God shall supply your need. Let me give you this one free. I'm done with my message today. Let me give you this one free of charge. Every time there is a need in your life, look for something you already have that you don't need and send it out. Because it says, and my God will meet all your needs, not according to what you have, but according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Say with me one more time, there is a God. He is the Most High, and I trust him. One more time, there is a God. He is the Most High, and I trust him. How do I know you trust him? You're generous. Hallelujah. Let's rise up and have faith.